And this is why we reach plateaus when we're dieting, despite how little we're eating or how much we're exercising. And this is also why 96% of people tend to gain weight back after losing it. And this is what's called metabolic adaptation. And it plays a huge role in rebound weight gain post-dieting, which so many of us are very familiar with. And it can also make weight loss more and more challenging every time we attempt to diet. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Unstarved, a podcast to help you take ownership of what you are hungry for in life. In a world where we've been groomed to restrict and deny ourselves of what we want and need most, here we reclaim our desire to be satisfied physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. My name is Emily. I'm a health coach, nutritionist, and insatiable learner. Here, I share content and interview guests that touch on a variety of wellness topics to guide you to heal your relationships to food, your body, and most importantly, yourself. I upload every single Wednesday, so if you enjoy this podcast, please remember to subscribe on your preferred platform so you never miss any future episodes. To connect with me, you can shoot me an email, follow me on Instagram at emily.unstarved, or use the link in the show notes to work with me for one-on-one coaching. I meet with all of my clients remotely, so wherever you happen to be in the world, we can connect. Hi again, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful day so far and a wonderful week. Today, I'm going to dive into a concept that I have talked a lot about with my one-on-one clients. It's one of my favorite sort of go-to diet myth, diet rules to bust, because I think it can be so incredibly damaging. And I think that the way it is portrayed is way too simplistic, and it paints nowhere near the full story that we actually need to know in order to live a healthy lifestyle and to make healthy choices for ourselves. So before I dive into this episode, though, I do want to give a little warning, as I'm going to be discussing things like calories and using other terminology around body weight and food that some may find triggering. So please be discerning about your decision to listen to this episode. And if you do at any point need to stop listening or pause for another day, please do so. Please take care of yourself. So we've all heard the classic rule that body weight is just a simple formula of calories in versus calories out. Basically meaning that in order to gain weight, we need to eat more than we're burning. If we're going to sustain our weight, we need to eat the same amount of calories that we're burning. And to lose weight, we need to be burning more calories than we're consuming. So it's just very formulaic. Another classic favorite mantra of diet culture that basically says the same thing is just eat less and move more. How many times have you heard this out in the world from doctors, nutritionists, personal trainers, wellness influencers, friends, family? It is such a classic way to shame people in bigger bodies as a way to incentivize them to lose weight and somehow make it seem like their efforts to lose weight are not nearly good enough because it's actually apparently so simple, right? And the big question is it really that straightforward? And the short answer is only partially. And by partially, I really mean partially. The issue with this guidance is that it's painfully oversimplistic, and it doesn't touch on a variety of different factors that play a huge role in the weight of our bodies at any given time. So today, we're going to dive into what those different factors might be. And my goal with this episode is that you leave it with more clarity on how your body actually lands on a specific weight. And in learning this, I also hope that you're made aware of how this oversimplistic guidance can be super detrimental to your goals at best and even dangerous at worst. And I also hope that the information in this episode provides you with some grace and self-forgiveness if you feel like your efforts to lose or maintain weight have been a struggle for you. And I'm going to get a little sciencey in this episode because I do feel it's so important to acknowledge that what I'm about to share with you is not just about, it doesn't just come from my own personal philosophies and biases about diet culture and its negative impact on society, or even what's worked for me in my own health journey. Like, what I'm about to share with you has been well researched and studied by reputable sources. Reputable. It's a hard word to say. Harvard Medical School actually published an article back in 2020 that did a really incredible job at highlighting the issues around this oversimplified calories in versus calories out guideline. In this article, they highlight that this guidance is actually painfully inaccurate because uniform results are simply not necessarily guaranteed by one formula across multiple bodies. So basically, there's so many different factors that go into how our bodies burn fuel, aka calories, for energy. And these factors can include the types of foods we eat, our unique metabolisms, and even our gut microbiome, which I find so fascinating. So basically, two different bodies can consume the same amount of calories and have completely different outcomes on their weight. And as a side note to this, I also want to plug that this in and of itself is such a valuable piece of information to address weight stigma and the bigotry and prejudice that people in larger bodies face. Because people in larger bodies are often seen as less intelligent or lacking discipline, because as a whole, diet culture has taught us that weight loss is formulaic and simple. So therefore, if somebody is in a bigger body, it's because they are refusing to acknowledge this simple formula. So therefore, they must be lazy or uneducated or living an unhealthy lifestyle when that's actually not necessarily true at all. So going back to the article, they dive into what they've discovered are actually the three main factors of how our bodies process calories. Number one is our gut microbiome. Gut health has been a buzzword in the wellness space for a while now, so you may already be aware of how many functions of our physical and mental health it actually plays a part in. And our gut microbiome consists of trillions of organisms. There's actually more of our body weight stems from our microbiome and all of the different like organisms that live on us than it does from like our actual body mass, which is so crazy to think about. Like, that's how many of these things we have on us all the time. And the ones most predominant in our unique bodies may actually have a say in how many calories our bodies absorb from food. And according to this Harvard Medical School article, it's been found that people in naturally smaller bodies actually have different types of microorganisms in their guts than those in naturally larger bodies do. And it turns out that some microorganisms are able to break down and use the calories from food more efficiently than others. And this is just one reason why somebody in a smaller body and somebody in a bigger body can have the same dietary intake of calories while still being so different in their body weights. Number two is metabolism. And in this point, the article refers to something called set point, which is a weight range that each unique body is predisposed to maintain. And this is made possible by our unique metabolic burn. When there is a risk of our body weight dropping below our body's desired set point, like when we're dieting or restricting calories, our metabolism shifts in order to prevent this from happening. And this is why we reach plateaus when we're dieting, despite how little we're eating or how much we're exercising. And this is also why 96% of people tend to gain weight back after losing it. And this is what's called metabolic adaptation, and it plays a huge role in rebound weight gain post-dieting, which so many of us are very familiar with, and it can also make weight loss more and more challenging every time we attempt to diet. Because our metabolism is adapting, every time we do another diet, we have to decrease our caloric intake more and more each time to get the same results that we got from the previous diet. This is why for so many people, they can stay trapped in this diet cycle because, you know, it's like that feeling of just wanting to get back the efficiency of that first diet where they lost a ton of weight because their body had not yet caught on to the fact that they sometimes diet. You know, the metabolism had not yet adapted. So it was caught off guard. And so it did lose the weight. But of course, it did end up adapting and it gained some of the weight back. And then every time we try to diet again, the metabolism is that much more adaptive. And that's why it's so hard to lose weight after we've dieted multiple times. It's just our bodies don't like us to purposely restrict food. It's survival. It's what I harp on all the time. Number three is the types of foods that we eat. And this is regardless of their calorie content. So according to this article, processed foods have been shown to cause people to eat more than those eating unprocessed foods, even if their initial caloric intake was the same. So whether they were eating 500 calories of a processed food and others were eating 500 calories of an unprocessed food, the people who are eating the processed foods tend to keep eating, whereas the people eating the unprocessed foods tended to feel fuller faster and end up eating less calories overall. I want to say, though, as a side note, the study that this article referenced had a very small research group of only 10 men and 10 women. So my personal take on this is that it's an interesting finding for sure, but I'm curious to see if the study will or has been replicated with a larger group of people, because that's a very small number of people to make a generalized claim about all human bodies. So that's my little side note with that one. But given that, I think just taking into account some basic gentle nutrition here is the way to go. So this means that we aim to eat as many whole food ingredients as possible with as much variety as we can, while not obsessing either about avoiding processed foods at all costs, because sometimes the reality is they're the only option to take in nutrition given a number of different situations. And frankly, they can be enjoyable sometimes as well. So priming ourselves to live in fear of these foods can trigger disordered eating, and it can also mess with our mental health and foster an unhealthy relationship to food. And I also want to say that there are even more issues around this calorie in versus calorie out guideline that go beyond what the Harvard article went into. And I already talked about how this can propagate weight stigma because it creates a false narrative that weight loss is easy and it's guaranteed as long as you eat less and move more, when we now know it's actually much more complex than that. Another big issue I personally have with the calories in versus calories out guideline, especially the way it's just sent out in this like massive way to anybody who is looking to lose weight without taking into account anybody's like personal experience with weight loss or their personal biology or psychology, is that it can trigger disordered eating in its purest sense. Like, it can cause us to undereat, and this can obviously be very dangerous and sometimes even deadly. Anorexia nervosa is the most deadly mental health disorder. And any wellness advice that is just put out there that simply says all you need to do is eat less food without providing any more context, to me, is irresponsible. And it's super gaslighty too. I also have personal beef with this because there's no guidance implied here about nutrition and about having variety in our diet and making sure that we meet our protein needs and our carbohydrate needs, that we're eating enough fiber, that we have enough dietary fat to support our brain. And, you know, if you were to like take this super literally, like it's just a simple matter of calories in versus calories out and leave out all of the nutrition behind it, it essentially is suggesting that, you know, you could just lose weight by eating a specific amount of calories strictly from Haagen-Dazs ice cream and lose weight. And while technically this could be true for some people, we know that weight loss from a method like this couldn't possibly be health promoting, right? So while using ice cream is like a very extreme example to make my point, there are many ways that somebody could take this guidance literally and be missing out on vital nutrition from food because they're only focusing on the number of calories in the food instead of the nutrition and the macronutrients that are providing those calories. So that leaves the big question, what do we do instead? How do we approach our health if calories in versus calories out is not really a thing? If there's such a huge genetic component to the size of our bodies, and we have a set point that our body is constantly trying to maintain homeostasis in, what do we do instead? And personally, I believe that it just all comes back to doing health-promoting behaviors for the purposes of feeling better, for the purposes of longevity, of more energy, versus the goal being strictly weight loss. And it's not that there's anything wrong with wanting to lose weight. I don't want to make you feel bad because you want to lose weight. But I think what it comes down to is that if we hyper-focus on the weight loss, we're missing a big piece of this. And we set ourselves up to be caught up in that diet cycle trap. So this is why I think it's so important to have reasons that go way beyond weight loss for why we're doing health-promoting behaviors. Because while our weight is somewhat out of our control based on what we just talked about, no matter how we're eating, what we do have control over is eating foods that feel good to us, that give us energy, that make us feel energized and help us to have longevity in our life. And this also means that we naturally don't go into an extremes because extremes don't feel good to the body and they're not sustainable. So we don't do extremes in one way or the other. We're not giving up on health and just saying, screw it all, eating whatever I want. We're in that sweet middle ground where we're honoring the needs of our body, but we're not in a huge state of deprivation either. So we're not triggering our body's deprivation status and causing it to like adapt our metabolism. And, you know, we end up kind of sabotaging ourselves that way. This is where we get to take a gentle nutrition approach that's rooted in balance. So we don't demonize foods, we don't make any foods bad, and we live by the philosophy that all foods have a place in a healthy diet. And we nourish ourselves with high-quality proteins, with healthy fats, and fiber-rich carbohydrates that allow us to sustain our moods and sustain our energy levels. We honor our hunger and fullness cues, like what I talked about in the last couple episodes. And we learn how to cope with emotional pain appropriately. So we're not using food to soothe ourselves emotionally when we actually need something else. And we also learn how to overcome binge eating because we're no longer dieting and depriving ourselves of what we enjoy, which is the very thing that can trigger binge eating. So there's so many ways that we can go about this that are so much more sustainable and are actually going to promote our health and mental well-being. And it's not strictly about the weight loss. And personally for me, what's really worked for me is to really focus on things in this way and then let my weight fall where it falls. And this is where the hard work can come in because sometimes that means that we have to do the work to heal our body image. We have to do the work to accept our bodies for where they are and say to ourselves, I am doing the absolute best for my health without depriving myself and without going into dieting and without having a toxic relationship to food. And this is where my body is falling and I have to be okay with that. And what do I need to do to heal my relationship to my body so that I can accept the weight that it's landed on, the weight that that it wants to be, because I feel great. I know I'm taking care of myself and this is where my weight is. What do I need to do to feel okay about that? And I know this is hard, but if you really listen to everything I said before, I really do genuinely believe that it's the only way to go. Because if we purposely cut calories too low in the efforts to lose weight, it generally doesn't work out well for us. Now, the solution that I'm proposing here, it's not a quick fix like so many diets are, but it does get us off the hamster wheel and back into balance with ourselves. I do hope that you found this episode helpful and clarifying, and that by listening to this information, you were able to give yourself permission and give yourself a little bit of grace and self-forgiveness if you feel like you've struggled. And I hope that this inspires you to take a different approach because I do believe that the alternative, a gentle nutrition approach where we heal our relationship to bodies, to our bodies and to exercise is so fulfilling in so many ways that a diet can never fulfill us. And I encourage you to take that step for yourself. It's a really beautiful journey. It's hard, and it can, but it's beautiful and it's so worth it because on the other side, there's just so much freedom and so much peace. So cannot recommend it enough. But I hope that you found this helpful. If you did, please share with a friend or a family member who you think could benefit from this information. I would also so appreciate it if you could leave a review if you're on a listening on a platform that allows you to do so, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps to spread the word of this podcast and it lets other people know that there's value to be had here. I will be back as usual next week with another episode. Until then, be well, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.